Oh, well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and today we're going to continue in our study in the book of Philippians, or the epistle to the Philippians. Last time, we left off, we were beginning chapter 3. And just to back up a little bit, Paul warns us to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And of course, he's not talking about the people that are out there in the world, among the heathen, out there in the Roman Empire, in the public sphere of the Egyptian Sodomite world, but he was talking about these people that are in the church that we need to beware of, taking us to the temple scene of the Revelation, which is a picture of God's church in the last days. And those are these dogs, he calls them dogs, just as offensive as Jesus was when he said some things that seemed to be very offensive. These evil workers, and he calls them the concision, those that mutilate. He goes on, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. An indication right there that he is speaking spiritually and that we have no confidence in the flesh, in the works of the flesh, in the praise of the flesh, and certainly not in genealogies, and certainly not in our nationality. Nothing in the flesh can save us. We have absolutely zero confidence in the flesh. Paul goes on to give us his pedigree, so to speak, that he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more. So you want to boast in your position in the flesh? He says, I could boast more. He was circumcised on the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee, and he goes on to give his pedigree. And in the end, he says, it's all dung. It's all worthless. He said, I counted all loss. I gladly exchange it for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And, you know, you find the same thing in the church these days. People give their pedigrees. Some people will stand up and they'll give you all their PhDs and their doctorates and philosophy and Bible degrees, whatever. I went to such and such university. Some people, their pedigree is their family. I was raised in a Christian home, and I've been married to the same woman for 40 years. And you know, they give their pedigree. It's like their pedigree. It's like they're looking at this and they're saying, this is what I stand on. But Paul says, it's all dung. No matter how good it is, and, you know, it's good to have good things in your life, but not to boast in those things, as if you're responsible, as if you planned your life before you were born, because you plan nothing. It is good to have an education. It's good to learn God's word. And you can learn it, you can sit under good teachers, and you can have a degree, and all of that is good. But it is not what you stand on. You stand on one thing, the blood of Jesus, the only saving grace that we have. All the works and all of the accomplishments of our life, Paul rightly says, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Trade it all in. Good, bad, indifferent. the beautiful, the ugly, whatever it is that you're clinging to, trade it in that you may win Christ. Paul moving on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul, of course, speaking, saying his righteousness, his own righteousness was of the law because he was a Pharisee. But your righteousness could stand on something else besides Christ. And then it's your own righteousness. It's worthless. It will not pay the price for your sins. It never will. And all the perfecting that Christ has done in me over the last 45 years since the Father adopted me as a son into his kingdom, all of the perfecting that has been done in me by his Holy Spirit is worthless for achieving the prize of eternal life. Well, it's not worthless for me. It's the work that Christ is doing in me to perfect me, but it will not buy my salvation. It is not a righteousness on which I stand, because any righteousness I have is imputed righteousness. It is his righteousness. It's not mine. He died so that I could receive it. I owe it all to him. Anything good in my life, as anything good that we may experience at any time in our lives, is a gift from God. So we cannot boast in it. We cannot take personal pride in it. I might go as far as to say, I am proud of what God has done in me, but I can take no credit for it. And there's no self-pride in it whatsoever. He says, I count it all dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. That is the important thing, is to be found in him. Paul continues, not having my own righteousness. It's not mine, it's his. He has imputed it to me. It's the work that he did that allows his righteousness to be imputed to me. All good things come from God. And if there's anything good in me, anything good in my life, anything good in your life, even in the most despicable and evil of this planet, anything good in their life is a gift from God, because all good things come from God. So not having my own righteousness, Paul says, which is of the law, or we could say which is whatever, the degrees, the good works we've done, all of that. He says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's where the Reformer said faith alone, you know, Christ alone, faith alone. Not by the works of the flesh, not by the Antichrist Pope of Rome, not by the clergy, not by the beautiful buildings and the robes that they wear. There's no righteousness in it whatsoever. The only true righteousness is from Christ alone, by faith alone. And that's what we rely upon, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. We are made conformable to his death when we carry our cross. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. He carried his cross, and he carried his cross for us, because there was no sin on his cross but ours, because he had no sin. But he says, pick up your cross and follow me. And that's that perfecting work that he desires to do in us, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, putting to death all of those things that are not conformable to the law of his kingdom, not conformable to the kingdom of heaven and the laws of its king. And he is that king. Jesus, Yahushua, the Messiah, is the King of Kings, the King of Heaven, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, the Kingdom of God. And he is our King. And he purchased us with his own blood so that he could impute his righteousness to us. So let us allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, that work of repentance, because that is the process. And that is the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, going about and saying to everyone everywhere, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, that I may know him. Verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. And we know that power now, because if he is working in us, if we are born again, if we are quickened with the life that he gave us by that new birth, then the power of the resurrection, the power of his resurrection, is working in us to redeem us, to conform us to the image of the only begotten Son of God, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And if he was matured or perfected through suffering, as the scripture says, how much more us? If you're a Christian and you're not suffering for Christ, I don't understand it. I don't understand how that could be, because we are to know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Crucify the deeds of the flesh. Perhaps Paul continues in verse 11, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's the prize. That's the end. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And there, that allusion back to this, the phrase that we read, where he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There should be a little trepidation continually through our life, because we have no illusions about who we are and who we would be without Christ if we should wander from the way of life and join the many on the broad way that leads to destruction. Even the many in the church, in the visible church on earth, to whom Christ will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Never want to hear that. I do not want to hear those words. Any means. And the means to attain unto the resurrection of the dead are found in the Word of God. Let us not depart from the Word of God. Let us avoid, abhor anything that deviates from God's word. Not that everything that deviates from God's word is necessarily evil in itself, but any deviation may be a temptation to leave the path, to continue in a deviation. Let us always come back to God's word as our standard for faith and practice. If the practice is not found in God's word, maybe the Spirit will move it and make something happen one time, and maybe not. But let us always come back. Let us not get carried away with anything that deviates from our standard for faith and practice found only in the Word of God. Let us always come back to it, because if God's word is not our standard for faith and practice, then what is our standard but whatever we make up in our own mind, but of whatever we decide, when we deviate from God's word. It's a dangerous path, and it will not lead to life. And there is a lot of deception out there. And Paul started out this chapter warning us about the dogs, the evil workers, those mutilators that are working in the church today. And they are, unfortunately, they are the majority, sad to say, of those that are in church government, in the world, out there in all of those buildings. The majority of them are dogs, evil workers, and mutilators. And I take no joy in saying that, but it is a warning. And some people would say to me, how dare you? What gives you the right to say that? Who do you think you are? I'm just a man that believes in God's word and believes that it is the standard for faith and practice. And when I see all the deviation, all of the errant doctrine, everything that goes another way, preaches another gospel, as good sounding, as you have the right to believe what is wrong. You have the right to go astray. Doesn't make it right just because you can do it. Just because we can do something, just because God allows people to get away with things that deviate from his standard for faith and practice, does not mean that it's right or it's okay. Because apparently, the Almighty allows the entire world, for the most part, to go astray, to continue on the broad way that leads to destruction. But he has his eye on the few that are walking on that narrow way, that continue in his word, that count everything else as loss and dung, that will sell everything that they have to obtain that prize, eternal life through Christ Jesus. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If you miss that, you miss everything. That's the prize to keep your eye on. There is nothing greater than you can attain during your mortal existence than the resurrection of the dead. And it's only found in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a present reality. Now there's coming a day, foretold in God's word, where Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years, and Jesus will return, and he will return bodily, and we will be changed, the dead will be resurrected, and those who are alive and remain will be changed, and these two groups will be caught up together in the same event. It says together in Thessalonians. They'll be caught up together, and so we will ever be with the Lord. We will be resurrected as he was resurrected. We will have bodies that will never get sick or old or ill or die. We will never be tempted to sin again. Hallelujah. Looking forward to that day when I don't have to wrestle with temptation, when I can just be all that God wants me to be. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no big head. There's no pride. There's no arrogance in this man. He knows exactly where he stands and that we all must press on from where we're at. We must all continue to allow the Holy Spirit to do that perfecting work in us, we must continue to carry our cross until the end of our mortality. You're listening to Nicholas. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we're going through the Epistle to the Philippians, and we'll continue after we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.